Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to the Heredity Podcast with me, Dr. James Bergen. And that is a Rufus Cat Spinetail. Oh, and that's a Baea Spinetail. Okay guys, enough. These birds are small, pretty adorable looking passerines. And in the Atlantic rainforests of Brazil, these two species meet and, well, they got on pretty well. In fact, they form a hybrid zone that can provide us with some fascinating insights into evolutionary biology, speciation, ecology, a whole host of biological traits really. And today we're going to learn a little bit more about how this hybrid zone formed, as we discuss the recent Heredity paper, Historical Climate Changes and Hybridization Shaped the Evolution of Atlantic Forest Spinetails, Aves furinetti. We've met our birds, let's meet our authors.
So my name is Marcos Maldonado Coelho. I am an evolutionary biologist, and I have a focus on birds, so I am an ornithologist. Right now I am an associate researcher at the Lund University in Sweden.
Okay, so I'm Henrique Batalha Filho. I did my PhD in genetics and evolution at the University of São Paulo, studying evolutionary biogeography of neotropical birds. Currently, I'm a professor at Federal University of Bahia in Salvador, in northeastern Brazil.
Perfect. Well, welcome both to the Heredity Podcast. And I guess before we get into the evolution and the genetics proper, maybe one of you could just tell us exactly what a spinetail is.
Well, the spinetail species comprehend a quite interesting group of neotropical birds of the genus Cynalaxis. And this genus includes 34 recognized species. In this paper specifically, we studied the hybrid zone and population history of two species of spinetail, the rufous-capped spinetail, which is the Cynalaxis rufocapla, and Baea spinetail, that's the Cynalaxis cinerea. Both are small passerines that live in the undergrowth of forest habitats across the Brazilian Atlantic forest.
I think I'll just complement his description by saying that these two species, they have had a convoluted taxonomic history. The northern species, the Baea spinetail, was described some years ago, and then years later, based on a taxonomic review, both species were considered as belonging to a single species, based on variation, morphology, and vocalizations. But not everyone agree with this decision.
Additionally, the limits of distribution of both species, we also found the co-occurrence of divergent mitochondrial lineages, which also attracted our attention to thinking about a possible hybrid zone.
Yeah, no, it definitely is interesting. And you've kind of mentioned there a couple of times hybridization, which I guess is the focus of this paper. So what exactly do you mean by hybridization in these species and the hybrid zones, and why are they biologically interesting?
What we mean by a hybrid zone is pretty much the geographic region where the two species or two populations or two subspecies, they have to be genetically differentiated, get together, and they breed, and they leave descendants that are genetically intermediated. Of course, not all the individuals in a hybrid zone are hybrid. And hybrid zones are natural laboratories to study evolutionary process. And more specifically, if you are interested in speciation, they are very useful because they allow you to study how barriers to gene flow or else the genetic mechanisms are involved in species formation and the mechanisms involved in maintaining the species genetic integrity come to play.
No, for sure. They sound like incredibly fascinating systems. And I guess that's a really good way to then kind of zone in on exactly what it was that you were wanting to investigate using this population. So what was it that you were actually doing in the study?
Well, in this study, we have two main aims. The first was to comprehend the diversification process behind the speciation between these two species of spinetails. And also the second aim was try to investigate evolutionary process across this hybrid zone. In the second one specific topic that we're interested in is comprehend how the hybrid zone was formed between these two species, if it was formed by primary contact like in situ hybridization, or if it was formed by secondary contact, like this species diversified in the Lopa tree, and then they established contact after the divergence and then established the contact zone. Now, I don't know if Marcos want to complete something.
Yeah, I think he could describe it very well. And I think I'll just say that one of the things that I like about our paper is that we set up this framework. It's a very simple framework that allowed us the possibility to reject at the same time the two main ideas here, to test two main ideas. That was first geographic mechanism of diversification, like if it was a river as opposed to historical climate change, like glacial refuge, and whether the hybrid zones, they originated through a secondary contact or through primary differentiation. So it's the same set of tests that allow to contrast these two different things, the geographic barriers and the origin of the hybrid zones.
No, there are some very interesting questions, and I wonder what the sort of framework and tests you were using actually were. So how did you go about answering these questions?
Well, we started this work just a few years ago, and we tried to accumulate a lot of samples, and we went to the field and sampled these species across its distribution through eastern Brazil. If you put the range that we sampled, it's more than 2,000 kilometers that we go to the field and sample the birds. And then went to the lab and generated genetic data for more than 100 individuals for different genes in different genomic regions. And then we also work with paleo distribution of these species in order to create this integrative framework to answer our question. And finally, we did a lot of statistical analysis to investigate or specifically answer our study questions regarding this hybrid zone and diversification of spine tails.
Oh, that sounds like an incredible amount of work. And I guess if people want to find out the sort of very specific details, then they can go and read your paper. But I'm really curious to find out what it was you were actually finding out about this hybrid zone, and were you able to answer the questions that you set out to answer?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. There are several interesting results in our study. I can mention a few. For instance, one of the nicest things that we discovered that we didn't anticipate it is the presence of cryptic lineages that no one had idea that they existed. We knew that are two populations that are probably differentiated because they are considered two species at some point. But we found the existence of two cryptic lineages that we had no idea that existed. So that was very neat. And one of the interesting things is that one of the lineages that's in the north, that's occur in the mountains, in the Chapada Diamantina Mountains, it seems also to be vocally differentiated. And of course, this is related more to the diversification. But when it comes to the hybrid zone itself, I think one interesting thing that we found is that the genes that we use to study the hybrid zones, they are not homogeneous in terms of variation. So we have one Z linked gene that had way less admixture compared to the other genes, Z linked genes and the mitochondria. Obvious interpretation of this is that this gene might be somehow involved in some sort of postzygotic isolation. And about the barriers that were probably responsible to differentiation of these species, it seems that the river that separated the two species, in a way, was not the mechanism that caused the differentiation. It seems that climate oscillations are more important. And also, analysis also reject the idea that this hybrid zone originating through primary interbredation. So probably is a result of secondary contact of previous isolated, geographic isolated populations.
We also were able to describe the evolutionary history regarding the formation of the hybrid zone. As we combined genetic and ecological tools, we found evidence of population expansion and retraction during the late Pleistocene. And then we were able to identify the period when this contact zone was established, which was in the last glacial maximum, at least based on our data. And it was an interesting result because, as Marco says, we were able to reject the role of the river. And at the same time, we observed the role of late Pleistocene climate change in isolating, but also connecting allopatric population. And one interesting point was we were just able to generate ecological niche models for the last glacial maximum and also the last interglacial. But we know that this climatic change through the Pleistocene happened many times. And possibly these species were able to establish connection of isolated population many times during the Pleistocene, most of them drove by historical climatic change.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are definitely some very interesting results. And one thing that I kind of wonder is, you were mentioning there the historical influencers and the ecology, and this is an incredibly diverse part of the world. So I wonder how common you think the processes that you're seeing in these spinetails are, sort of more generally in other species in the same part of the Atlantic forest, and what kind of sort of big lessons the study might be giving researchers looking at similar things.
Yeah, this is a quite interesting question. And of course, our results can be expanded toward Atlantic forest organisms, not only passerine, but also vertebrates or even invertebrates. We have a lot of evidence of this historical climatic change in the Atlantic forest that affect some organisms in the same way within this region. And indeed, there are other contact zones in the Atlantic forest, but I think further studies must investigate these contact zones across the Atlantic forest and then evaluate if the process that we observed here for the spine tails are happening for all the species that live in the Atlantic forest.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. So what do you think the sort of the very sort of big take-home message from the study is? Like, what do you think is the coolest thing that you find?
One of the take-home messages is about cryptic variation and the existence of cryptic lineages. There's been some already several studies showing that in the tropics, we have a lot of cryptic variation. And I think one of the questions now is why it's so common in the tropics as compared to, for instance, the temperate region. Another thing that I add is the usefulness of hybrid zones to study the speciation process. So for instance, according to our niche modeling, these two species, they got in contact at about 20,000 years ago. But despite hybridization gene flow, they have been able to maintain their genetic integrity. So hybrid zones are, I think they are very interesting to study speciation.
Yeah, just to complete the Marcus ideas, is this group of bird is not expected to exhibit hybridization, at least in ornithological literature, because they can't learn the songs. And despite it not be expected this bird exhibit hybridization, we found hybridization among species. Maybe the hybridizations are more common than we expected. And I think it reflects the absence of studies within these groups and also most of new tropical groups, because here we have a lot of biodiversity and we don't know most of the ecological, evolutionary, or even taxonomic data of species. I think with more studies, we might be able to find more hybrid zones, even in species that we didn't expect hybrid zones, like these birds that we studied here.
Yeah, for sure. It will be interesting to see how it pans out and see how your research fits in with that. So I guess, just to finish this off, could one of you tell us the title of your paper again? And also, I know one of your co-authors isn't here, so just tell us who that was.
Well, historical climate change and hybridization shaped the evolution of Atlantic forest pine tails, Avis furnaridae. The authors are Henrique Batalha Filho, Marcos Maldonado Coelho, and Cristina Yumi Miyake.
Perfect. Thank you very much, both of you, for taking the time to speak to us and share this work. It's a really fascinating study, so I hope people will go and give it a read.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Obrigado, Marcos.
It was a pleasure.
Hybrid zones really are some of the most fascinating biological systems out there, and this paper has some really excellent insights into how they form and what they can teach us. Check it out and find out more about the journal on the Heredity website. That's nature.com/HDY. And if you need more genetics in your life, then good news.
Dr. Kat Arney has you covered over on the Genetic Society's other podcast.
Why are cancers more likely to develop in some tissues than others? And will low doses of radiation increase your risk of the disease, even without damaging your DNA? In the latest episode of Genetics Unzipped, we're tackling the big questions about the Big C as we dig into some of the mystery surrounding what's often seen as the ultimate genetic disease. Why are bowel and breast cancers so common when heart cancer is so rare? And could medical scans be creating the conditions for unruly cells to grow? Genetics Unzipped is brought to you by the Genetics Society. Listen and download from geneticsunzipped.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Huge, fascinating topic. Do go check it out. But for us, that's it. If you enjoyed this podcast, please do subscribe on the podcatcher of your choice so that you never miss an episode. And why not give us a follow on Twitter? That's at Heredity Journal. If you want to get in touch with me directly, you can also drop me an email at hereditypodcast.gen@gmail.com. I'm James Bergen. Tune in next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.